Warning, the following podcast may contain potential plot spoilers, but then again, it may not at all.
Hello and welcome to Potential Spoilers. I'm Kieran and I'm joined by Mad Matt himself.
The guy stole his dad's gun and shot his rival for a lover. And if you didn't want to know that, lady and gentlemen, then you shouldn't be listening to the show because that is a spoiler. And Kieran, it's a lovely day.
I love your suggestion that there's only one lady listening to our show. You know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I imagine so. It's a quote for this trailer, Kieran.
Yeah, I got you. I have seen the trailer.
From Thor himself.
Oh, you're saying that you've seen the trailers this week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
I have
good.
This
what
week.
What an achievement.
I have. I did my work this week.
So Maddie D and I, hopefully, have seen all the trailers for Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, and we're here to predict as much of the plot as humanly possible. Are you ready to get into it, Maddie D?
I'm ready and revving.
But if you want to put... yes, I got you. If you want to put one of our previous predictions to the test, you currently can, because in cinemas right now, and I am going to run out and see this one pretty much straight away, is The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling.
It is.
Has very much a Mad Max-esque vibe to it itself.
Well, there's car stunts in it, so yeah.
Filmed in Australia.
Filmed in Australia, yeah.
There you go. So, let's get into talking about Mad Max, but before we do, let's talk about it as a franchise in general. Now, how would you describe the Mad Max universe / movies in like one or two sentences?
One or two sentences is a little hard, but it's a post-apocalyptic wasteland car chase action movie series.
Yeah, I call it like a carpocalypse genre.
Yeah.
So the apocalypse has happened, but like the only thing that of human civilization that's left is basically just cars and machinery, and people are fighting over what's left of like the dwindling resources of gasoline, because apparently, you know, having a car running is the most important thing. More important than like, I don't know, growing food, having clean water. No, it's the cars that we got to keep running. And I guess our main character is Max Rockatansky. That's his name, right?
Is that his last name?
Yes. Okay. Have you seen any of the Mad Max movies? We'll get into your history in a sec. But yeah, he was formerly, is it an MFD patrol officer?
Yeah, he was like some police sort of
thing. In the post-apocalyptic world. Of course, this is all taking place in Australia. All the movies very much take place in Australia. It's very much an Australian franchise and has been for its entire run. Of course, directed by George Miller. And he was part of this police force, but then that was sort of disbanded in between the first and second movie. Mm-hmm. And now Max became Mad Max, the road warrior.
And just a wanderer.
Just travels from place to place, getting into adventures and killing people. It's always a good time. So, of course, the first Mad Max movie came out in 1979, starring Mel Gibson. And it was followed up by the sequel, Mad Max 2, also known as The Road Warrior in the US, in 1981. That was followed up in 1985 by Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah, we love that one.
With Tina Turner and Angry Anderson and a whole bunch of fun little characters. And then finally, 20 years later, that was followed up by Mad Max Fury Road in 2015. And the same year, we also had the Mad Max video game.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Max 2 and Fury Road are widely considered two of the best action movies of all time. And these movies are often imitated as well. The carpocalypse genre that I mentioned before is basically a genre of its own. After the first two Mad Max movies came out, there were so many imitators.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen or heard of any of those. I think there's one called Endgame, not to be confused with Avengers Endgame, Warriors of the Wasteland, Escape the Bronx.
Escape the Bronx.
Yeah, there's so many like Italian ripoff Mad Max movies, but there's a bunch of American ones too. I think it's called Steel Dawn. Does that sound right? There's a movie called Steel Dawn.
You might be right. I know there was
Patrick
one
Swayze.
That was the inspiration for Fallout. That was kind of very similar. There's a lot of these kind of movies, and it makes sense because you can do this kind of movie on a limited budget.
That's
which is what the original Mad Max was, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and same with the second one. You can have this sort of like impressive world building and just film it just out in a desert somewhere and say, oh, it's the apocalypse. All you need is some cars, some leather clothing, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, some chaps.
Yeah.
You're good.
I love the outfits that the police wear in that first movie. Basically just bondage clothes.
Yeah.
And they literally bought all of their leather from like a bondage shop.
There's bondage stuff all through these movies.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. And it becomes like a theme of these movies as well. One of the gangs in the second movie are called the Gay Marauders. They never actually say it in the movie, but if you read it in the script, they're literally referred to as the Gay Marauders.
Yeah.
And they just wear arseless chaps and they just hang around on motorcycles with like, you know, you've got these really tough like warriors and they've got like these really pretty boys sitting on the back of their bikes. It's a fun time. So, Matty D, I've got to know, with all of that in mind, what is your history with the Mad Max movies?
Cool. So, I'm Australian. So, of course, I knew about the Mad Max movie when I was very young. I was taught it from my father, who was taught from his father, from his father, from his father. If you're Australian, you know the Mad Max movies before you even know about movies, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, when I was young, I think it was my dad, introduced me to the first Mad Max movie. And I had come into it with all this hype and hearing all this kind of crazy stuff about how massive these movies were for Australia. And I remember watching it and being like, well, the first Mad Max, that is, and being like, oh yeah, that was cool, but I don't really get it. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. And then later on, I watched Beyond the Thunderdome.
Beyond Thunderdome.
Yep. Yep.
The Thunderdome.
And that was insane.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit weirder than the one I'd watched previously.
Yeah.
And this is like a criminal charge, Kieran, and I hope you forgive me, but to this day I've not seen the second Mad Max movie. Seen bits of it. I understand it's really, really impressive, but I never had a chance to go around and watch it. I have, however, seen Fury Road when it came out. We did a podcast together where we covered it.
Our listeners would have heard that episode by now because we released it as a bonus episode.
Yes, well, then you know my thoughts of that movie, but that was a fun time and very, very visually impressive. And at the time that came out, there was nothing really like it.
Yeah.
So that's my sort of history with the Mad Max movies. I understand there's a video game out there, and I would watch my brother play that, so I got a little bit of the world in there. And I have kind of a relationship with this kind of, I guess you'd call it carpocalypse, through other imitations like video games like Beneath the Steel Sky and Full Throttle and things like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Rip off Mad Max in the best way possible.
Yeah.
So although I'm not the hugest fan of these movies, I enjoy them and I respect them. And really excited about this one, actually.
Oh, yeah? How
come? I'm just watching the trailer, it just seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's in the right hands. It's in the hands of the people that make it great. So, you know, it's going to be accurate and it just looks like a fun time.
Yeah, I guess we'll get into the production of the movie in a little bit. Not in a huge way, but just in a way that will make sense to, you know, why I guess you're excited and why I'm excited to see the movie. But my history... Yeah, quite like you, I remember being relatively young and my mum just like calling me to come into the lounge. She was like, Kieran, come quick.
This is essential.
Mad Max is on TV. We've got to watch it. And I was just like, okay. And I remember not really thinking much of that first Mad Max movie. I remember going like, what the heck is this? Like, this is not what I imagined from this franchise at all. It's kind of lame in a way. And again, it's almost very blasphemous, like, you know, in the same way that you've never seen the second one. But yeah, I sort of thought the first movie was kind of lame. And then I tried to give it, like, when I was a bit older, when I was an adult, I tried to give it a second chance because I was just like, oh, I think I was a bit too hard on that movie. Yeah. So I borrowed it as an adult and watched it. And then I still had the same opinion. I'm like, I can see what they're going for, but they don't really achieve it.
It's like, and this is going to sound really insulting, and it's not meant to be, but it's like a student film or it's like watching a buddy's film in a way. It's very impressive. Like, the stunts are very impressive, but it's kind of got this charm of like, you can see that it's just a guy with a camera and his buddies just filming car chases.
Well, I think the thing in retrospect now, having watched all of the other movies, it doesn't have the same sort of level of world building that the sequels have.
No, it doesn't.
And so just in comparison to those movies, it's kind of very sort of low key and not as impressive. But then, of course, fast forward to 2015, the next movie in the series I watched was Fury Road.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember really enjoying Fury Road, or really coming around on Fury Road, because I was like, this is what I was sort of expecting from the first movie. And then I think people mentioned, well, you've got to see Road Warrior if you haven't seen that yet. So I watched that and I really, really liked that one. In fact, I liked it better than Fury Road. Had a better time with it. And then I was like all keen to watch Thunderdome. And Thunderdome has its like cool moments, but overall that movie's kind of weird.
The movie is very weird, but it's fun in its own way. It's very cheesy. It's very of its time. It's very quotable. The thing about that movie though is like you always remember the first bit of it.
Yeah, the best part. Yeah,
the best part. And then there's this whole big section where he's saving kids and
living with kids in an oasis.
That bit is not good.
No. I tell you what happened. So, I believe it was the second unit director was George Miller's best friend. And while he was scouting locations for the film, he died. I think he was in a helicopter crash and he died. And George Miller was distraught and didn't want to make the film. So, they basically, I guess it was the replacement second unit director who shot most of the movie and the script was essentially come up with on the fly.
It was two separate movies, right?
So, all the really good stuff was the stuff that George Miller actually did film, and then all the weird stuff was the stuff that he didn't film. So, it was very much like a compromised vision and his heart wasn't in it, which is why the movie ultimately wasn't that good. But he was back with full force by the time Fury Road came out. And I guess just to slide straight into talking about Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Of course, we've already mentioned that George Miller is back behind the wheel for this one. This movie started development all the way back in 2015. It was actually written between the years of 2010 and 2015. It was intended to be shot back-to-back with Fury Road. So, I think George Miller said he spent 15 years coming up with the script for Fury Road. And as a part of that, every single character in the movie, he wrote like extensive backstories for.
Yeah, I believe that.
And because Furiosa was such a big character in Fury Road, if anything, she's in the movie more than Max.
Certainly has more dialogue than Max.
Certainly has more dialogue than Max and has more character than Max. So, he really wanted her to be the focus of both movies. So, he had this really elaborate backstory that he'd come up with. And yeah, I just don't think that the studio wanted to do two back-to-back because it was very sort of untested at that point. Like, the previous movies were popular, but they're like, will this new movie bring in as many people as the other ones did, or is it past its prime?
Yeah.
But then, of course, that movie
did gangbusters,
made a shitload of money, was up for a shitload of awards. And so, they're like, oh, great, start Furiosa straight away. And, well, what happened was development was eventually stalled due to a lawsuit with Warner Brothers. And production didn't start officially until 2020. And we all know what happened in 2020.
Yeah.
So, this movie cost a total of $233 million, making it the most expensive Australian movie ever made. Congratulations. And so, I think something that's really interesting about these new Mad Max movies... Oh, by the way, I just want to point out as well, this isn't in my notes, but we are getting another Mad Max movie after this one as well.
Yeah, they've planned a sequel already.
They're already filming the sequel, but this is going to be a story following Max himself rather than Furiosa.
Cool.
Because we already have the sequel to this movie. It's called Fury Road.
Yes.
So, we know... Oh, that kind of helps us out, doesn't it?
It does.
Because we know where the story goes.
Yes, it does.
And we know a fair bit about the characters' backgrounds from Fury Road. Mm-hmm. Well, I know I do. I can't speak for you. But yeah, that should really help us out, at least storyline-wise. But what do we know about this new movie so far?
Cool. So, we have about 3 or 4 trailers for this movie. And what we know about it is it takes place after Beyond the Thunderdome, before Fury Road.
Beyond Thunderdome.
Beyond Thunderdome. Sorry, Kieran.
Oh. Don't apologize to me. Apologize to the fans.
Apologize to the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Apologize to Tina Turner.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, Tina. So, it's after that movie, and I believe it's before a canon comic that was released about Mad Max, but certainly before Fury Road, and it's about the backstory about Furiosa.
So, when Furiosa is a child, I believe it's 45 years before Fury Road.
Yes.
No, sorry, it's 45 years after the initial apocalypse.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of fans were really confused because they're like, well, then how fucking old is Max then? But Max wasn't around for the start of the apocalypse. He didn't live in the world. Presumably, he didn't live in the world before the apocalypse.
I don't think...
It gets confusing.
I don't think they care too much about the timelines. I think you shouldn't be worrying about that too much with these movies.
Yeah, well, people seem to think that, like, Max was around before the apocalypse, but I always had the impression that, like, he grew up after the apocalypse.
I got that impression too.
And, like, they were still trying to hold the world together, but it was just devolving really quickly.
Yeah, it was kind of the last days of civilization.
Yeah.
Right, and he was 21. I mean, Mel Gibson was 21 at the time, so that fits.
But there's also a theory as well that, like, Max is more of an idea, more of a legend rather than, like, a physical person.
Right.
So, while there may have been, like, that one Max Rokitansky who traveled, you know, had the first 3 movies worth of adventures, they reckon that Tom Hardy is a different version of Max. Like, he sort of took on the... well, I wouldn't say that. But, yeah, he sort of took on the mantle of Max and carried on his legacy. I think that's what the fan theory is.
Yeah, I guess that can work.
So, that means, like, the character can be immortal, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of man with no name kind of style. Anyway, back to what we know about this movie. So, we see it's Furiosa's backstory, her as a child, her getting kidnapped by this big, bad Chris Hemsworth character. And I guess we see a lot of impressive car chases, a lot of impressive action scenes, but it seems to be a war between two titans and Furiosa is just kind of in between.
Oh, Godzilla and Kong.
We've
got them back again.
That's
great.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's pretty succinct. It'd be interesting to see the details you picked up on. Watching the trailer, I actually got pretty excited because there's a lot of locations from the video game in there.
Yes, there is.
And some of the characters in this movie are from the video game. So
oh, really?
I was just like, oh, look at that.
Because you played the video game pretty much extensively, right?
Yeah, so I played it when it came out. And then, would you believe it, this year, this was before you know, we even knew that we were going to be covering Furiosa on this show. Earlier this year. No, sorry, it was late last year. No, sorry, my bad. Double down on my correction. It was earlier this year. So, in January, February, I got really back into the Mad Max sort of universe, and I rewatched all the movies and I played the video game at the same time. So I really sort of launched myself back into that lore, which I'm so grateful for, because I'm like, well, now I have all this information that will help us in the plot prediction.
Because this lore is so thick and detailed.
That's right. More than you'd think it would be.
Yeah. There's more than you need to know, I think.
Yeah. So Fury Road, Furiosa, and the video game have their own sort of specific lore that's almost separate from the other movies, the other three movies. So they have sort of like a world of their own that you can really dive into. Like, there's comic books as well, which go into the history, which I've sort of looked at, but not really. And so, yeah, it's so rich for, like I said, world building that I think that's why these movies end up doing really well and people get really drawn into the lore. But I do have the synopsis if you want to hear that.
Let's
if you think that'll help us at all.
Hear it.
So it goes as follows. As the world fell, young Furiosa is snatched from the green place of many mothers and falls into the hands of a great biker horde led by Warlord Dementus. Sweeping through the wasteland, they come across the Citadel, presided over by Morton Joe. While the two tyrants war for dominance, Furiosa must survive many trials as she puts together the means to find her way home. And that's taken from the official website.
Cool.
Yeah, that pretty much is
pretty simple.
That's pretty much the plot of the whole movie.
Yeah.
We don't need to be here anymore. They've
not
already
really.
Told us.
Yeah.
No, but we're here to nut out the details. Interestingly enough, I think we should take this at face value, because in my notes, I actually questioned whether Immortan Joe or Dementus was in charge of the Citadel, because we know that Immortan Joe from the previous lore that we're given took over the Citadel from somebody else. And my initial idea
was it was from Dementus.
But if they're telling us that Immortan Joe is already in charge of the Citadel, we might as well take that at face value.
According to the lore, he owns the Citadel. I think he's just gotten the Citadel at the point of this movie. Maybe Dementus wants the Citadel off him. Maybe that's what they're fighting
about. I've got lots of theories on what Dementus wants, because he's a character from the video game. So
good.
He already has an established sort of background.
Right. Great.
Not an extensive one. We can go into it. But yeah, he's definitely a character that has existed. In fact, in the video game, he's called Dr. Dementus rather than Warlord Dementus.
Nice.
But obviously a reference.
So he's a doctor.
It's a reference to Dr. Demento, but you know, you're not from the 70s and neither am I. So you might not get that reference and our listeners might not either. But anyway.
Your radio. Westwood One presents the Dr. Demento Show. 2 hours of mad music and crazy comedy from out of the archives and off the wall. Rare records and outrageous tapes from yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
So, let's talk about who's in this movie, and I guess we can briefly talk about what their impact on the plot is going to be, and we can find out whether we agree or disagree with each other straight away.
Yes, because we are working together for this prediction.
That's right. So, ultimately, we've got to agree on all the plot points. We're already sort of tossing up whether... Immortan Joe is in charge of the Citadel yet or not, but I think it'd be easier just to say that he is, because
I think so.
He seems like he's already established as a sort of warlord.
It doesn't seem like Dementus is it, like, in all everything we see in the trailer, it doesn't look like he's in charge of the Citadel.
No, it looks like Dementus is sort of running like a roving band of motorcycles.
Yeah, he's kind of like a Roman with motorcycles.
Yeah, at least at one point he is.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
So let's talk about the cast. So returning as the character, well, she's not returning, so playing the character of Imperator Furiosa is Anya Taylor-Joy, who, of course, we've talked about before in New Mutants and Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, she was Peach.
So, Furiosa is our main character. We know about her from Fury Road, of course. But, yeah, her impact here, she's leading the whole plot.
Yeah, well,
she's our main character.
You know, it's going to be a character arc. It's going to be her learning to be the badass that she becomes in Fury Road. So, maybe her being a little bit vulnerable, a little bit unsure, you know, in harm's way, and then becoming the badass that fucks shit up.
Yeah, and of course, we know from the previous movies a little bit about her backstory, so we can really tie that easily into our plot as well.
Yep, and she's going to be getting her metal arm.
Of course. Well, her robot arm.
Well, you got to figure that in.
Yeah, that'll be really easy. That'll be really easy to work in, because we just say, well, she loses it in battle and she gets a replacement. There you go.
Yep.
Too easy. And I know who gives her the replacement, because it's really obvious. But then how we get to those circumstances, we're going to have to talk about. So, playing the character of young Furiosa, of course, we're going to have a childhood flashback.
This
might as well be childhood flashback the movie.
Yes.
Because I think most of it is going to be a childhood flashback.
Yes.
At least half of it, anyway. Anyway, playing young Furiosa is Alila Brown, who is a child actress. Not really familiar with her myself. Sure, she's done some good stuff, just nothing I'm really familiar with. So next up, playing the character of Warlord Dementis is Chris Hemsworth.
Unrecognizable.
Yeah, he's got a fake nose and a beard in this.
Yeah, it's crazy how things like that can just change somebody, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So
he's looking like he's having a blast in this
movie. He does. It's the most compelling looking Chris Hemsworth role I think I've ever seen him do.
Yeah.
We don't often see him playing a villain. I mean, we had Men in Black International, but...
That's true.
Aside from that, we don't really get to... No. I tell you what, he'd be good casting as Max himself, don't you think?
I think so. I've always thought that he would be a good Max. Much better than Tom Hardy. That's my controversial opinion. Wow. I didn't like Tom Hardy in Mad Max.
Yeah, I know. You wouldn't shut up about it. I mean, he still hasn't shut up about it. It's been 10 years that he's still going on about it.
Still on it.
But anyway, yeah, he would be a good Max.
Oh, he'd be great.
So, I don't know who they've cast as Max in this new movie coming up, but if they put Chris Hemsworth in, I wouldn't hate it.
It's me. I'm going to be Mad Max.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, it's Mad Matt after all.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, Warlord Dementis. There's so much about this character that's, I think, fairly obvious.
So, he kidnaps Furiosa.
He kidnaps Furiosa. Why that is, we're going to have to talk about. I already have theories.
Kills her mother.
Yeah, I think that's fairly obvious.
Steals her teddy bear and straps it to his crotch.
Yeah, that's right.
He's an all-round just dirtbag.
Yeah, he runs this gang of motorcyclists called, what are they called? Oh, the Great Biker Horde.
Yeah.
Or just the Biker Horde. He runs those.
He has a rivalry with Immortal Joe.
Immortan Joe. Yep. And I know that he's going to go to war with some of Immortan Joe's factions. So.
Yes.
The interesting thing about him is that he has, we've already mentioned it, he has like a motorcycle chariot.
That's awesome.
It had a specific name in the video game, but you can actually get it as an accessory for your car. And to get it, you actually have to go to the tomb of Dr. Dementis. And you find, like, the chariot there with his, like, skeleton in it.
Yeah.
So, we know that, obviously,
he's dead.
He's going to die at some point throughout the course of this movie.
Yeah, I think part of this movie is going to be a vendetta movie.
Of course.
Right? And so, she's going to kill Furiosa's going to kill Dementis.
I think from the trailers, it's really obvious that Furiosa has a personal vendetta against Dementis. And she even says to Immortan Joe at one point in the trailer, like, if you find him, leave him to me.
Yep.
So, we know that it's really going to be, like, personal. Well, we know that Furiosa is going to kill him. I think that's fairly obvious.
I think that's a safe prediction, Kieran.
He's not around in the sequel. So, next up, playing the character of Praetorian Jack is Tom Burke. I'm not really familiar with Tom Burke. He's done a lot of stuff, but nothing I'm really, you know, haven't really seen anything that he's done. Now, interestingly enough, what are your impressions of Praetorian Jack? Do you know much about this character?
No, I don't know anything about this character.
You don't have any thoughts or opinions?
No.
What do you bring it to the table then, man?
What is this character? Is he somebody that existed in the Mad Max world?
He wasn't named, but he is a character that did exist. So just throw a theory out there. I want to see if you're close.
I can't remember what he was doing in the trailers, if he was there.
He's in the trailers very, very briefly.
Okay. So, I think he is going to be just a member of Immortan Joe's cronies, maybe?
Okay. Well, you are right. So,
Great.
He is Immortan Joe's original Imperator. So, he's the one who drives the war rig. And then, obviously, we know from Fury Road that Furiosa ends up being his Imperator and she drives the war rig. So, let's just call him Jack. That's easier.
Yeah, it is.
Praetorian Jack. We see Jack with that classic sort of trademark black face paint over his eyes. So, he has the short hair and the black face paint that Furiosa wears at the start of Fury Road.
Okay. So, he's going to be like almost a mentor figure?
Absolutely. So, we understand that Furiosa was
he the
brought
one
up-
that was kissing Furiosa?
Well, they're not kissing. They're just holding each other.
Okay.
So, we understand that, he becomes a mentor for Furiosa. He trains her in the ways of Warcraft, basically.
Mm.
And she's eventually going to take his position as Imperator. So, again, I think it's really obvious that he dies in this movie. But from what I understand, they have somewhat of a romance, or at least very much a strong connection because of this sort of mentorship.
Yeah. I believe this guy...
Tom Burke, that is.
Yes. I'm just double checking. Yeah, he was in Mank. He was Citizen Kane.
Oh, that's right.
He was, not Citizen Kane. He was Orson Welles.
Okay, there we go.
I heard a theory
that
people thought he was like the young version of Joe. But obviously, that's not the case.
No, that's not the case because we're not really getting young. Well, we're having a younger version of Immortan Joe, but no, it's completely different character. So, yeah, this is a character who has been mentioned before in the Mad Max lore, but just not by name. And we understand as well that he is working with Furiosa to try and get her back home. So, he's potentially, in a way, looking to, I guess, double-cross Immortan Joe in a way.
He's going
to
be a good guy. He's probably going to die.
Yeah, that's what I said. I reckon he's definitely food for worms in this movie because, you know, Furiosa has to take his place. Are they going to be successful in getting her back home? We know that's not the case because...
there's no home to go to.
Because we know from Fury Road that she doesn't attempt to go home until, you know, 20 years in the future.
Yeah.
So next up, playing the character of Immortan Joe, as well as Rizdal Pell,
interestingly enough,
is Lockie Hume. So Rizdal Pell is one of the biker horde.
Okay.
But, well, because Hugh Keyes-Byrne was originally supposed to play Immortan Joe in this movie, he ended up dying back in 2020. So, obviously, he's not going to play the role again. So, rather than casting somebody new, they just got Lockie Hume to play Immortan Joe because we don't really see his face.
Yeah, and we don't. Yeah, you don't. With all the makeup and with the horse teeth, it's...
The respirator, yeah.
Yeah. You don't really need to see anything.
So, yeah, they're like, well, we'll just get you to do it because you're already here.
You got a promotion. Well, I wonder if he gets two checks.
Yeah, maybe. But, yeah, Lockie Hume is, to me, a really well-known Australian actor. He played... who was it? He played... the guy who runs Channel 9 in a lot of TV series. What's his name? I can't remember the...
I'm looking at his...
Was it Rupert Murdoch?
Yes, yeah. I think he played Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he played Rupert Murdoch in a couple of Australian TV shows. Yeah, Lockie Hume, he was probably best known for being in the Matrix sequels.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know him from like a whole bunch of radio shows and comedy stuff because he's done all of that stuff and he's a pretty funny guy. He was in Boytown, the Tony Martin movie. Sorry, Mick Molloy movie. Anyway, no one's going to understand that reference. But yeah, Immortan Joe. He was the villain in the first Mad Max movie. I think he's going to be more of a rival in this one or more of like a...
Yeah. So, I think Furiosa is going to be working with him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we know that from the previous movie.
Yeah. He's not a good guy, but he's...
An ally is what I was looking for.
Yeah. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? Exactly. That's what they're going
to
do.
Exactly. And Rizdal Pell, like, who cares about him? We don't need to talk about his character. But yeah, Immortan Joe, he's very much going to become the warlord that we know him as, or he pretty much already is, but he's going to really establish himself as both a villain for the previous movie.
Yes.
As well as...
Well, he becomes a god in that Fury Road. So, like, we got to see how he gets to those heights.
Yes. He starts a cult as well. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think we'll see too much of that. But we know that Furiosa is essentially going to pledge her loyalty to him once Jack is out of the picture. Yeah, I guess that's all we need to say. Great. Now, returning as the character Rictus Erectus is Nathan Jones, if you remember him from the previous movie.
Of course. I love Nathan Jones. I met him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went backstage at a wrestling show because he was a professional wrestler and I met the front row for Nathan Jones, as he was once called, before he went to WWE and did not have a great career, but had an even better acting career.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, there we go.
So, he's obviously returning as Immortan Joe's son.
Yep.
I don't think he'll be in this movie too much because we know that he does all his, like, proper stuff in Fury Road.
Yes.
So, it's just going to be a reference here.
He's just going to be a reference, yeah.
So, speaking of, returning as the character of the People Eater is John Howard.
Yes, ex-Prime Minister John Howard.
No, it's the actor John Howard.
Oh!
From All Saints.
There we go. Yeah, so...
And Always Greener.
We love this guy. It's always good to see him. He's an Australian icon, John Howard. And I hear that he has a very... dark backstory that we might see, do you think?
No,
or do
I
you
think again, it's just going to be
a cameo.
It's just going to be a cameo because, yeah, he's very much a big character in Fury Road.
Okay, so no people being eaten.
Well, maybe it might be referenced. Now, as we know, the People Eater is in charge of Gastown.
Yes, and we see Gastown in the trailer. So. Yeah.
So, we know that that's going to be involved, and he's one of, alongside the Bullet Farmer, who is not in the trailer and is not in the cast list,
yes.
He is one of the three sort of heads of this whole area of the wasteland.
I hope they spend some time in Gastown, because I really liked that area in the video game. It was my favorite area.
Yeah, I think we are going to spend more time in Gastown, and we're going to spend time in the Bullet Farm too, which is great, because we've never seen the Bullet Farm in anything.
That's going to be fun.
We've never seen it in a movie. We've never seen it in the video game. So, we're going to see it for the first time here. Next up, returning as the character of the organic mechanic is Angus Sampson.
Another Australian icon. This guy was everywhere in the 2000s.
Walks on the roof.
Yes.
That was like the first thing I saw him on.
I can't even think of, like, because he's just such a, he was always on TV, like every TV show, every kind of TV miniseries he was involved with, this guy.
He was one of the villains in Fargo season 2.
Was he?
He was in all of the Insidious movies. As like comic relief, and he was the voice of Goro in Mortal Kombat.
Man, he has that like just iconic rough voice.
Yeah. So it's always great to see him here. The organic mechanic, of course, was a big character in Fury Road.
Yes,
I believe he survived the movie. No, he died. He died. Yeah. He won't be back. But no, he's back in here.
I think it's a cameo for this one.
Pretty
this
much, guy. He's going to be the one who gives Furiosa her robot arm.
Yes.
That's absolutely going to be the case.
I mean, the organic mechanic.
Yeah, of course. Right, of course. Itself. And finally, last but not least, playing the character of Mary Jo Besser, who is Furiosa's mother, is Charlie Fraser. Charlie Fraser, who is a Sydney-based model. She's actually from Newcastle, but we won't hold that against her. No, we love Newcastle. Well, I do. I don't know if many do.
You went to Newcastle.
Yeah, I went to holidays in Newcastle.
I've driven through Newcastle many a time.
I hung out with Charlie Fraser when I was there.
There you go.
She's great. She's Australia's most sought-after model. So, yeah, this is her first acting role.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's all of our cast. Let's dive into the plot.
Great. Let's do it. So I think it's pretty obvious how this movie's going to start.
Yeah.
Right?
And then cold carry open.
Yeah, so we're going to have a childhood flashback. It's going to be in the green world of
the green place.
The green place with many, many mothers. Is that what it's called?
That's correct. Yep.
Right. I like in the trailer how it started off in black and white and there was the apple was colored and Furiosa.
I can guarantee you the movie will start the exact same way.
I think so too. And maybe the movie is actually going to start with a text scroll because they like doing that. Not text scroll, but like, you know, a little bit of information.
Narration is usually what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about filling us in on the backstory of this world is typically what they do.
Yeah,
since the second movie, anyway.
I think that's a good trope to stick with, like explaining what's happening in the world. But we're going to have the green place.
Well, I think we'll see footage. We'll see like archival footage of like nuclear explosions and war and whatnot, and it's all going to be in black and white. And that transitions us into the green place, which is initially in black and white,
and then it turns
with
to
a
color.
Red apple. And then we see a hand reach out and grab the red apple.
Love
and this
it.
Is young Furiosa, and then we go into color.
And the apple's red, and the whole screen goes to color. And this is a lovely place where everyone lives in tranquil peace, and they all dance around, and there's no harm in the world at all. It's all women, no men to be seen.
No.
And Furiosa, who's a little bit brave and a little bit
with a young friend.
Yeah, she's full of gusto. She leaves a certain area,
She travels a little bit too far away from the many mothers.
Yes.
With her friend, and her friend is saying
she went to the shadowy place out of Pride Rock.
She said, "We've traveled too far, Furiosa. What are you doing?" And when Furiosa grabs this apple and, I guess, starts snacking on it, and she ends up being grabbed by the biker horde.
Yes.
And, of course, I think Furiosa's friend will return to the many mothers.
They've got Furiosa!
Yeah. And Furiosa will be dragged away, essentially, on motorcycle back. I was going to say horseback, but it's motorcycle back. And, I guess, brought in front of
Dementus.
Dementus. Yeah, that's right. And he says, "What do we have here?"
Yeah, and she's going to be his captive for this portion of the movie.
Yep.
We get to see how cruel and how violent this gang is, how cruel and how violent this world is. Furiosa is not used to it. She's taken aback. She's scared. And obviously, her mother is going to try to rescue her.
That's right. So, once her mother, who was, of course, Mary Jo, hears about Furiosa's kidnapping, she sets out on a motorcycle on her own with a sniper rifle, and she's going to spend at least 3 days tracking the biker horde down.
And I think maybe just
them off
to
one by one.
Just to jump back, maybe we'll have a moment where Furiosa talks to her mother in the green place.
Sure.
Where it's sort of alluded to the fact that her mother is experienced in the outside world and is this kind of secret badass that we get to now see that Furiosa hasn't really seen before.
Yeah. So I think Furiosa will take a lot of inspiration from her mother because of this whole 3-day journey that her mother goes on to get her back and how she stops at nothing to take down these biker horde. So here's a good question for you, and this took me a long time to come up with an answer to. Why do the biker horde want Furiosa? We see that they put like a muzzle on her and have her in a cage.
Look, man, my first thought is she's a woman, you know, as filthy and disgusting as it is.
You're on the right track.
They're going to grow her up to be like a breeder, like the other movies, or just like a sex slave.
Well, interesting. You should have that theory.
That's my first thought. And that's just, I didn't think they would go into it too much, but that's going to be the insinuation.
Sure. Like I said, you are on the right track. I think I've worked it out.
Though. Okay. What do you think?
So they're going to offer, I believe that Dementus is going to offer Furiosa to Immortan Jo as a bride in exchange for ammunition as well as fuel because we understand
the milk mothers and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we understand that, I'm just presuming that Dementus at this point is sort of, he's getting supplies from Immortan Jo.
Yeah.
But then obviously in the future, he's going to decide like, oh, it's not worth doing that anymore, leading him to
go to war,
declare
war
with him. But yeah, at this stage, he wants, you know, he's like, great, this young untouched woman, that's a perfect bride for Immortan Jo. Mm-hmm. This is more valuable than any other resource. This is the one resource that Immortan Jo doesn't have, you know, clean women who are fertile. And so I think the whole reason that Furiosa ends up in Immortan Joe's sort of captivity and clutches in the future is because she is sold to Immortan Jo for resources.
Yes, I like that. The other thing I just thought of when you were talking was if Dementis had a relationship with, not a romantic relationship, but had a connection with Furiosa's mother, that she was using her, like the Furiosa, to sort of coax the mother out so he could kill her.
Okay.
It's another thought there, but
that's not as clean.
It's not as clean. No, I like your idea of it being used as a bargaining chip for Immortan Joe.
Because
these names are hard.
We know from the previous movie that Furiosa was sold to Immortan Joe as a bride. We know that.
Great.
And here's the other thing as well that we know. We know that she's infertile, so he could never accept her as a bride because she couldn't bear him children, which is why he put her in the care of his imperator, who, of course, we know from this movie is, what's his name?
Jack.
Jack, yeah. We know he's Jack, and then Jack ended up bringing her up into adulthood.
Yep.
And, you know, teaching her the ways of
This movie's going pretty well, beat by beat. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying
We've got to get there first. I mean, like, sure, that's a plot point that we've covered, but we've got to have the whole tracking down, like the Mary Jo tracking down Dementis, because we've got to kill her off.
Well, she manages to rescue Furiosa. They're together in a portion of the trailer running around. So there needs to be a rescue attempt that is successful.
Yes, I believe so.
So that's going to happen with Immortan Joe, I'm guessing. Or will it happen?
No, we haven't got to Immortan Joe yet.
Will it happen? You know, Furiosa's with Dementis. She comes in, she sneaks in, she kills people, she grabs Furiosa. There's a huge chase.
They flee, yeah.
All these big, you know, machines and cars and bikes are chasing after, like, one little Furiosa and her mother. What's her mother's name again?
Mary Jo.
Yeah. Mary Jo and Furiosa. So I could totally see that happening. They seem to go in kind of like inside a mountainside, like a desert mountainside.
Like
a canyon. Yeah, that seems to be where she dies, and she dies right in front of Furiosa.
Yeah, well, she is. We see very briefly that she is captured. So she's probably captured and maybe attempts to escape and then is killed. But yeah, we understand that Mary Jo, again, from the previous lore, we understand that we didn't know her mother's name, but we knew that her mother died 3 days after being captured.
Okay.
So whether they follow through on that is another story, but it would be better if we see what we saw in the trailer, if that happens.
I think that's what's going to happen. She's
killed in front of Furiosa. Furiosa is distraught, taken away.
She's grabbed.
And then that's when we understand that she's sold to Immortan Joe as a potential bride. And then we jump forward into
and Immortan
present
Joe's
day,
like,
future.
Yeah, right. Immortan Joe and Itala Joy, yeah. Immortan Joe's like, I can't use her. So then she moves to be with Jack and
And then we have we establish the relationship between Jack and Furiosa.
Yep.
He's this sort of somewhat fatherly figure towards her, maybe a little bit more than a fatherly figure. They have this sort of connection. He brought her up from a child, but maybe he has, like, feelings for her.
Yes.
Which is kind of weird, but, you know, it's a weird world.
It seemed romantic to me, but maybe it's more of a father figure. I don't know. I guess the only thing I'm taking this off-
there's a strong connection there.
Is this one bit in the trailer where they're very close there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I believe because he really cares about her, and we know this from what was described about his character, we know that he is planning with her to help her get back home.
Yeah, because that's her mission. And we got to say this as well, that Mary Jo says to Furiosa, get back home.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for all
My guess was that that was
home.
Some sort of vision. Like, that was some sort of... Because you remember in Fury Road, Max keeps having visions of all the people who, like, the ghosts of his past, who are sort of, like, driving him to do the stuff that he's doing. So, I thought something similar might happen where, like, a vision of Mary Jo appears and says...
It could be.
You know, go back home.
It could be. I took that as her dying word.
It could be that as well, but, yeah, who knows? She could have
said
that.
What do we want
to
say?
I don't know. Maybe it's cleaner just to say that she told her earlier on, no matter what you do, go back home.
Because that seems to be something that's specific to Max, the visions, but I guess it fits with
I'm
the theme.
I'm just saying it could be a callback.
It could be. Let's say that's in the movie regardless.
Okay.
That's points for us.
Yeah. Okay. I like that we're compromising by saying both things.
Both things.
Yeah. That's good.
Why not have both?
Well, it could just be a dream, man. It could just
could be
a dream.
Yeah.
A transitional dream where, you know, it would be that thing of like we see her as a little girl. Then we see like this vision of the mum saying, no matter what happens, go back home.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up and she's an adult. And then we get thrown into the action of Furiosa as Anya Taylor-Joy.
Great, yeah. We'll have like a transition scene. I like that. Because we do see scenes as well where she's like worshipping Joe and she's like in all the gimmicks and stuff like that. So, yeah. And okay, so we're now adult.
She's alongside the War Boys at this point. Mm-hmm. And again, she's under Jack's mentorship. And we understand that like she sort of rides into battle whenever needed.
And she's proving herself.
Yeah, and she's attempting to prove herself. She has her own little car.
Yes.
And she has her own little team of war boys that she drives around with. So, I think we're going to be thrown straight into almost Mad Max Fury Road-esque action where, of course, we know that the big conflict is that Dementis, he's fed up with bowing down to Joe for resources, and he wants to go to war and claim back the Citadel, claim back Gastown, claim back the Bullet Farm.
His ego's gotten too big.
Well, not claim back. Yeah, he wants to take over.
He can be the guy. Yeah.
He wants to take over Immortan Joe's position. And so, yeah, he declares war, and our two factions are going to go to war with each other.
Great. And do you think it's this bit where Furiosa will say, I also want this person dead, so
well, I think she's got to claim her position as Imperator before she can make those sort of demands.
Well, I think the escape attempt is going to happen before that. Like, she's going to try to escape from Immortan Joe's area.
Yeah, with the help of Jack.
Yes, and that will cause Jack to die. That will get an audience with Immortan Joe who's like, well, I'm going to kill you because you tried to escape my area. You betrayed me or whatever. And she's like, well, what if we work together?
Well, I think more so, like, they're showing loyalty to Immortan Joe. I think Furiosa and Jack show loyalty to Immortan Joe, but they have this other plot of, you know, of fleeing at some point in the middle of the night, which may not necessarily happen. You know, it may not necessarily be attempted. Like, Jack might be killed off before that happens.
Okay.
But we've got to have, there's got to be a conflict at the, we don't see the Citadel in the trailer, but presumably that's going to happen at some point.
Yes.
But we've got to have a war at Gastown, and we've got to have a war at the Bullet Farm.
Yes.
So we've got to have, you know, I think it'll just be a series of battles, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, let's say Bullet Farm happens first and then Gastown happens after.
Sure, that's what I think too.
Okay, because when we see, I think Bullet Farm where Dementus is holding onto a ledge and there's a bunch of bullets flying.
Well, it's like one of those moving platforms.
Yes.
That you would run grain along in a silo, but instead of, you know, it's bullets instead of grain.
Well, it makes sense. Like, Dementus is going to try to overtake his strongholds.
Yeah, that's right.
Joe's strongholds, so.
And then, of course, Immortan Joe and the War Boys and Jack have got to go and defend these places from the Biker Horde.
Yeah, and maybe in the course of this movie, maybe Dementos actually gets control of, like, the Bullet Farm. Like, he's going to die anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, it'd all go back to Joe at the end of the movie.
Yeah, true.
But, like, he could be taking over these strongholds, which is making Immortan Joe desperate.
Yeah.
And makes Dementus more of a threat. And so.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah,
he's getting more powerful. He's taking resources away from Immortan Joe, becoming more of an equal threat to Immortan Joe.
So, if he takes over Bullet Farm, that'd be fun because then he's suddenly become super well armed and more of a threat.
Yes.
And then I guess that gives him the sort of strength and manpower and firepower to go after Gastown, which is Joe's biggest resource.
Yeah. And do you think the climax of the fight's going to happen, or the climax of the movie is going to happen in Gastown, or do you think that's a stepping stone on our way to the climax of the Citadel?
I think the battle at Gastown will be the final battle, but I think between Bullet Farm and Gastown, I think we've got to kill off Jack to get him out of the way.
Right. Kill him off at Bullet Farm.
Because I guess they're planning on leaving at a point, and if he's killed off during the Bullet Farm, that ruins Furiosa's. Obviously, he's going to be killed off by Dementus, because that'll get the extra vendetta against Dementus for Furiosa.
Even maybe sacrifice himself, putting himself in harm's way to spare Furiosa.
Absolutely. He's going
to
use his vehicle, the vehicle that they were planning on traveling together through the wasteland in. He's going to blow himself up in it to prevent, Furiosa from being killed.
Now, we said the organic mechanic replaces her arm.
Yeah.
The organic mechanic is... Where's he at this stage? Is he...
He's with Immortan Joe.
He's with Immortan Joe. So, do you reckon she loses her arm at this stage?
Yeah.
I think she had her arm in the scenes we see in
I have a theory as well that, like, post-Bullet Farm... She does have her arm during Bullet Farm, by the way. Post-Bullet Farm, she'll go after Dementus by herself.
Yes.
In an attempt for revenge. It doesn't go well. You see a scene where she's on a motorbike and Dementus is driving like a big war rig, and the motorbike gets sucked underneath the war rig, and she's trapped underneath the
war
truck.
Rig that has these like
flamethrowers.
Yeah, it's like this. It's like a mace kind of thing, like a chain with like balls, and then it spins.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's going to be awesome.
That is going to be awesome. But yeah, I can imagine her revenge plot. You know, she's going for revenge for both her mother and Jack. Doesn't work out well. She's defeated. She loses her arm in a fight against Dementus, which leads her to going back to Joe, swearing allegiance to Joe.
Yep.
He gives her the position of Imperator.
Because of her loyalty, because of her gusto.
They've got to brand her as well.
Yeah.
They've got to brand her with the Immortan Joe symbol.
Mm-hmm. So, that's when that's going to happen.
Yeah. And she's going to shave off her hair, which is symbolic of character growth, as we know.
Yep. Yes. Paint her forehead, which black. She's been sort of doing progressively through the movie.
And the organic mechanic is, of course, going to give her this metal arm.
He comes up and goes, all right, I'll get your new arm.
And now they officially declare war against Dementus. Dementus is planning on leading the attack to Gastown, but Furiosa is now the Imperator, and she's going to lead all the war boys in a battle against good old Dementis.
Great. And this will be the climax of the movie. There'll be flames. There'll be
car chases.
Explosions. There'll be smashing. What if Dementis successfully takes over Gastown and then they have to, as in Furiosa and the War Boys, has to then siege Gastown? That'd be cool.
I think it's more of like a Final Stand Helm's Deep style.
I love it. Sure. Let's do that. That's cool. I love a good Helm's Deep action scene. So, yes. Cool. So, you know, they're there at Gastown. Dementis comes in.
Yeah.
Huge fight happens.
Because of Furiosa's skills with vehicles and you know, what she's learned throughout the course of the movie and what she learned from Jack.
Yeah.
She's able to take out all of the biker horde and leaving, of course, only one person left, which is Dementis.
And she and now she's become like cold.
Yeah.
Not heartless.
She became the Furiosa from the previous movie.
Yes, yes. So explosions happen and then they're going to have their fight, Dementis and Furiosa. Yeah.
She's going to execute him. After he's a massive jerk and has a big speech.
Do we want to say something a little less generic? Where do you think the final fight's going to be? Do you think it's going to be on like a truck or something, or in a vehicles, or you know, fist fighting or throwing chains at each other? Like,
I think it's just going to be in the fires of Gastown. Really,
great, love it.
That's my theory anyway.
Cool. Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of car chases and stuff leading up to it.
But I think it's a Mad Max movie.
Of course, but I think the final fight between them is going to be not in vehicles.
It's going to be hand-to-hand combat.
Yes. And
with guns and knives.
And she will kill him in...
Of course.
You know...
She's going to execute him.
In a violent way, but in a way where he's like, you know, humiliated. He's bested.
Same thing happens to Immortan Joe in Fury Road. So.
There's that scene where he's kneeling to her in the trailer.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
too. And I think that's going to be his death.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. That's what does he say? I'm trying to remember what words he says. He says something really
profound.
He
says a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't have it written down, so I don't know.
I can't remember either. I think it's something like, you think you can get away with this or something like that. I can't remember, but I think that's the scene that's going to be his death.
Yeah.
And she's going to chop his head off.
Could well happen. Could well happen.
Kick him into the fires of Gastown.
Yeah, that'd be fun too.
Takes her teddy bear back.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, what Great. Else do we need to say? People are theorizing, and I don't know if this is actually going to happen. It would be fun either way. People are theorizing that we might see Max as a part of the police force. Like we might see his car.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, it would be.
That would be cool.
It'd be a fun Easter egg, but yeah, it's because at this point, Max would still be in the police. But
would he be?
Yeah. Yeah, because remember, it's like 20 years before the events of Fury Road.
Okay.
And how old would he have been in Fury Road? Who knows? We already don't know if it's the same Max or not.
Yeah. So. I don't think there's going to be... I'm happy to agree with you, to compromise.
Well, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying this is a persistent rumor.
But I think they're going to sort of step away from that. I think they're more interested in like the world building of Fury Road.
It'd be too cute, wouldn't it? To insert Mad Max in there. I mean, it'd be like putting Batman in the Joker, you know what I mean? Like, you can do it, but you're not going to feel good about it.
Yeah. And also, I think that they're kind of stepping away from... They're leaving the Max stuff for that sequel.
For the next movie, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Which is the movie I want.
They don't really need it, so...
No.
I don't think it's going to happen, but if it does happen, it'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either, but yeah, I'm more than open to it. And so we'll sacrifice a point if it does happen.
That's fine.
We'd rather it wouldn't, right?
Yeah, the police force doesn't really get referenced after the first movie, right? Like, it's never really...
No.
They don't really like going in that direction. They're like, you know, it's apocalypse, no rules, don't forget about government.
I think they prefer Max as the Wanderer.
Yeah.
The Wandering Savior rather than being a part of, you know, an organization.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great.
That's pretty much the movie.
Look at this, man. Like, we're pretty much on the same page. I think with this kind of movie, you're not going to have any swerves or anything complicated plot-wise.
No.
I think the plot...
It's also a prequel, so...
Exactly. The plots to these movies don't really matter. It's just setting the table for all the cool shit you're going to see.
Yeah, we didn't even really get into the details of the action scenes, but that's not important on this show because we only focus on plots.
Yeah, how could you call that, though, realistically?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the plot's going to be very simple. It's going to be a lot of interesting characters. The law will be there, but it won't be spotlighted. It will just be...
Well, I think it's the perfect time to spotlight the law. You can really go into characters from the previous movie. And
you can, but I don't think in the detail origins. That many people think, you know?
No, of course not.
You know? Great. Great job, Kieran.
So in the lead up to recording this podcast, Matt contacted me and said, I think this will be pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I think it'll be pretty easy to predict. And it sounds like it was. Whether it translates to the movie or not is another story. We'll find out in a couple of months, I suppose.
Yeah. But it's going to be fun to watch this movie. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like you're looking forward to it.
This is a movie that I'm actually really looking forward to seeing.
Yeah. We've had a few movies that we've covered that I've just been like, I could take or leave it. But this is a movie that I'm like, you know what? This is going to be fun to watch.
This is the first movie that we've covered this year that I've actually been excited to watch. The very first one.
Yes.
And the last movie I was actually excited to watch was Godzilla Minus One, and that was ages ago.
That was forever ago.
But yeah, this is the I think this has probably been the only movie this year that I'm anticipating. So I am very excited to see it. I was excited to do this episode, talk about something I'm actually interested in.
Yep.
But yeah, well, it's not like I hate the Planet of the Apes movies, but I tell you, I'm cautiously optimistic for this movie.
You're cautiously optimistic. Okay, so yes. You don't want to give your hopes up to be disappointed.
Yeah, because I'd much rather see like a movie with Max in it, to be perfectly honest. But I'm still open to this being a really fun time and me really enjoying it.
Yeah, we had a conversation off air as well where we said we hope that they try to do enough of their own thing and not try to make it like Fury Road 2.0. Because although Fury Road Zero. Yes.
Because
although Fury Road was great, you want something different, right?
That's right.
Like all the Mad Max movies are very different from each other, and it'd be nice, you know, have elements of what worked in Fury Road, but just don't have a carbon copy of that. So
exactly.
I'm hoping for that. But it looks great. It's going to be visually spectacular, much like the previous movie.
Yeah, looking at the trailers, I didn't think the visuals looked as impressive as they did for Fury Road, but I'm happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot riding on that, pun intended.
Yeah.
You know, because like it had so many accolades for how visually impressive it was.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
You would think there'd be a lot of pressure to make it equally or if not more so.
Well, it's been 10 years, so.
Exactly.
And this is a story that's been like thought out and storyboarded for longer than 10 years, almost 20 years. So.
I mean, I guess the same thing happened with Avatar and they produced something that was visually less impressive than the previous movie.
Okay.
But I like to give George Miller more credit than
James Cameron.
Yes.
Well, fair enough. I say since I've seen Avatar: The Way of Water. So yeah. So what do you, the dear listener, think is going to happen in Furiosa: A Mad Max Saga? That's what the movie's actually called. Are you a Mad Max fan? Is this your first time ever hearing about the Mad Max movies? Are you a child? This is a good introduction for you. Are you excited? Are you not excited? You can let us know any of your thoughts in several places. You can send us an email at potentialspoilerspod@gmail.com. You can find us on our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
On X.
And Twitter. And you can also just leave us a comment on this episode's page on our Podbean site. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see all like the Mad Max video game fans come out of the woodwork and we can have good old chats about does everything in that game, is it canon to do the movies or is it its own thing?
Well, that game does a really good job at being, you know, faithful to the world.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think it's canon.
It's a perfect bridge between the older movies and the new movies.
Yeah.
It does such a good job tying them in. I know that was done sort of retroactively once the new movie came out, but I think the way that they did it worked really, really well. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see this movie. I hope you are too.
I am.
Now, speaking of movies that I'm not excited to see, that leads me to what we're going to be discussing next week, because we're returning to another installment as a standard of actual spoilers, where we're going to go back and look at a movie that we've covered in the past and see how well we did predicting the plot of it. And I can't wait to look at to see the look on Matty D's face when I tell him what we're covering next week. We're covering a single movie, so that must mean it's big, right? We only cover single movies when they have a big impact on us.
Yeah.
And next week, we're going to round out a trilogy because we're going to look at what happened in the final installment of the Halloween movies.
Yeah.
When we look at how well we did predicting the plot of Halloween Ends.
You know what? I'm not upset, Kieran, because we need to talk about this movie.
Oh, yes, we do.
We need to debrief about this franchise and
about
this movie.
Did we call it the worst movie of 2022?
It was, yes, I think so.
So, oh boy.
There was not favorable things said about this movie in the course of our show. Maybe that could change when we rewatch it, man.
We sort of came around on Halloween Kills, didn't we?
It came around because of this movie.
Yes.
But, Oh, man. Yeah, we need to talk about that movie.
Maybe we should watch it together like we did the last one.
Yeah, okay. And maybe a few drinks need to be had while we do that.
Oh, absolutely. That's the only way I got through the movie the first time.
Oh, man, I just realized the thought of watching that movie again. Oh.
It is filling me with so much dread. There's nothing scarier about that whole franchise than this installment. Oh, boy. Oh, what a train wreck. So, if you haven't seen Halloween Kills, if you haven't seen Halloween Kills, I don't give a shit. But if you haven't seen Halloween Ends, don't bother.
Read the Wikipedia page.
Join us next week because we were going to be in pain.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Michael Myers or Corey stabbed us in the nuts because that's the only equivalent that I can think of.
Kieran and I have trauma bonded over this movie.
Yes.
You can trauma bond with us. This can be like a meeting. Like,
yeah, that's right.
Where we each share our pain and our problems and what this movie did to us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think I'm going to have to talk to my therapist about this movie as well because, we'll talk all
just
about it
one
next
therapist?
Week. So yeah, please join us next week when we're going to see how well we did with predicting Halloween Ends. And until then,
tell me about the toe cutter.
The Ayatollah of rock and roller.
My life fades. The vision dims. All that remains are memories. I remember a time of chaos. Ruined dreams, this wasted land. But most of all, I remember the road warrior, the man we called Max. To understand who he was, you have to go back to another time, when the world was powered by the black fuel, and the desert sprouted great cities of pipe and steel.
I am the one who runs from both the living and the dead. Hunted by scavengers. Haunted by those I could not protect. So I exist in this wasteland. A man. Reduced to a single instinct. Survive.